pray the Lord bless you in a very special way. I appreciate the opportunity I have here. Kathy and I have been enjoying this, looking forward to some days for the Lord to bless us, just to see the move of God. I'm always praying that God would work in the lives of us, that we may be more like Him, so we could witness more like Him and bring people. Let me encourage you to invite people to your church regularly, and just encourage you to do that. There's great things happening. Be part for the Lord to bless us. We're looking at faces in the crowd. If your Bibles turn to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark, chapter 14. I think the scriptures will be up there on the big screen. As we travel through that, we see a lot of people and a lot of scenes go on behind the scenes. And I want you to kind of know what's happening behind the scenes. So when you come to the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection, man, on Sunday morning, on that Sunday when the Holy Week started, it was Hosanna. Hosanna, they're loving him a lot, man. He's a rock star. He's Jesus. They come to love him. But isn't the devil good? Didn't the devil know how to take something good and make it evil? And so he knows how to turn the tide. He knows how to. And let me encourage you, don't ever follow the crowd. The crowd is really easy to get away from where God wants you to be. You always follow the spirit of a living God in your life. So they were. Today we're going to look at some people. We looked at three last week. And today we're going to look at Peter. I want to title this message, The Face of a Second Chance. Peter, The Face of a Second Chance. I want you to understand that when we become Christians and we're born again, I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Pentecost, if we're born again, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have another set of rules in the kingdom to live, not just the rules in this law that we live into, but principles of the kingdom of God. This Bible that I preach from and I love reading is not a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book of principles. It's principles that will guide our lives to help us to be winsome and love people and to help forgive people and to carry on. Anybody can fight. Anybody can cuss. Anybody can do all that kind of stuff. But I want you to learn to turn the cheek. I want you to learn to go the extra mile. I want you to learn how to pray for an enemies. These are the things that when you live in the kingdom of God, these are the new principles we live by. And we live in a kind of a torn state. We got all the principles we grew up with. We're going to talk about that in Peter's life. And then here come God to give us all the new principles so we can help people to find the Lord. Have you ever thought about people that you love that have never been saved, that are far from God? You ever thought about your family members that are far from God? You ever thought about your co-workers? Have you ever felt responsible to pray for them? Have you ever felt responsible to ask them to come to church? Have you ever cared about them enough? Have you shed a tear for people who are lost? See, these principles, the rules, it's not about us, it's about Him. And when we make it about Him, we follow the principles God has for us. And so I just want you to learn to grow. We're not going to walk on water, but I just want to get in it. I want to see things happen, don't you? Wouldn't it be great to come to church and see people saved and give their heart to Jesus Christ regularly? You know, it's almost one of those things that just happens every once in a while. Boy, when we're working together, God wants to save everybody, and He can save everybody. But we got to help it by praying for them. We got to help it by inviting them. We got to be light in a dark world. We got to be salt to take away all the evil that's around us for the Lord to bless us. Well, Peter was the man of the day. And God was trying to teach Peter, Jesus Himself was trying to teach Peter how to live his life of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter is one of those guys that he has a lot of ups and downs this week. Last week we see him pull a knife out and cut a guy's ear off in the garden of Gethsemane. I mean, we see Peter, man, he's a fisherman, he's a battler, he's a lover, he's a disciple. He does it all. He wears a lot of faces. And God's trying to get his faces straightened out. He's trying to get his life where it's more in harmony with all the balance in his life. And so we're going to see Peter, that God's going to speak to him and open up an opportunity for him to become stronger in his faith. You know, the second chances in life are far and few between many times. I remember a little boy one time I was growing up playing basketball, and I struck out when base was loaded. Whenever base was loaded again, I never got to bat. I never got a second chance at that one. See, they're few and far between. Whenever you pick a team, you know, the football team or basketball team, and you don't do very good, they usually don't pick you the second time. It's, you know, it's, you got to be up front. Second chances are hard to find. Maybe you have been going through a terrible relationship problem. Maybe you went through a divorce. Second chances are hard to find. We beat ourselves up, so people beat ourselves up. People who lose their jobs. Man, it's a hard time. It's a difficult time. My son has been in a plant for 19 years at Flint Inc., and he just found out last week he's losing his job. Man, you know, if it's all in a job, you're in a mess. But boy, there's a God that takes care of everything. I told my son, I said, Jason, God's so good to you in spite of you. He's going to give you a better job than you had, make more money than you ever had. But you're going to have to pray about it. You're going to pray more than you've ever prayed. He said, I've already been praying. I said, see how this works, Jason? See, God didn't do this, but he's got you praying again. Amen. Praise God. See, I want you to know that the life of second chances, this whole Bible is a life of second chances. We've all messed up. You know, it's all or nothing for us. You know, but the deal is we can't live that. Our expectations aren't fair. We don't plan on failing, but we will. We don't do it on purpose. If you do it on purpose, you'll be corrected. But see, I just want you to know that God has a plan for Peter's life. Peter is just up and down. He walked on water. I mean, here he is walking on water, and the next time you see him, he's cutting the ear off a guy. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's my kind of guy. I learn a lot from Peter. So God is trying to teach Peter how to live his life in a balance. You know, and that we can live our lives for the Lord to bless. I believe this, gentlemen and ladies. I don't believe your children ought to ever hear you cuss. You're the Christian. You're the adult in that house. I sit there. I was at, forget where I was this week, but I don't forget what happened there. There was a little boy there. And he did some things. It was a little ornery. He hit his other brother. I seen him. I had a brother just like him. And his dad picked him up and cussed him like, I just wouldn't believe it. And I just walked up to the daddy. I said, man, I said, I hate that. I hate that happened. But he didn't deserve all that cussing. He didn't deserve all that cussing. You know, I think that parents, you know, we always blame them. They get it at school, you know. That's where they get all the bad stuff at school. You know where they get it, don't you? They get it where we live sometimes. And I want you to understand that. I want you to know that we need to be a cut above. We need to be better than that. We need to be thankful. Little people always pay mistakes for big people. Little people always hurt because of what we do. And we need not do that. We need to be paying attention. And if you're not paying attention to the Word of God and the ways of God, all you're doing is living out your flesh. And on Sunday, you try to practice Christianity. But on Monday, it's right back to the old routine. That's the way Peter was. It's all or nothing. So I want to help you to see what the gospel has to say to Peter and how God's going to do a work in his life and begin to change his life so he can be the man he wants to be. You know, the gospel's second chance in the world we live in, it's now or never. You better get it or you'll never get it. You got to get tough to get along. Not much room at the top. It's dog-eat-dog world. It's all or nothing. That's how Peter lived before Jesus met him. It's all or nothing. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Peter was always in front of the line wherever he was at. When it comes to persecuting the church, he was in front of the line. When it comes to winning the church to Jesus Christ, he's in front of the line. But Peter lived with that mentality in his life. And so now he has a new set of principles to live by. And Jesus has spent 3 years with Peter and the disciples, training them how to love one another, how to forgive one another, and how the miracles of God can work in our lives. And so he's ready to put Peter to the test. There's a big test. In chapter 14, I want to read you the predicament that Peter's in. In verse 26, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. There they were in the upper room. They just changed the Passover meal to the communion service of the Lord's Supper. Amazing moment in the disciples' life. It was amazing. Can you imagine sitting down having communion with Jesus and letting Jesus wash your feet? Can you imagine in the presence there how powerful that was? How wonderful that was? The disciples were on a moment where they were just blessed beyond. They lived that for 3 years. But then Jesus speaks a word to them in verse 27. Then said Jesus to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now, Jesus was giving his guys a heads up. Guys, I'm going to be arrested here in a few moments. They're going to take me away from you. I've never been away from you. I've been with you these 3 years. We've been through a lot together. But I'm getting ready to be taken away from you. I'm going to be arrested. And when I'm arrested, the sheep is going to scatter without a shepherd. He's forewarning them that. He's telling that. He's explaining that to them. Then listen to what Peter says. But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not. Hey, Jesus, these other 11 back here may fall, but you can count on me. I'm not going to stumble. I'm the guy. You can count on me, man. This is how Peter thinks. He thinks he's above a stumble. He thinks he's above. He thinks he's got this down so strong. His desire is there, but his maturity isn't there. Listen to what it says. Jesus said unto him, surely I say unto you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you would deny me 3 times. So Peter, since you brought it up, I'm telling you, you're going to fall 3 times before the rooster crows. Not me. These guys may, not me. Do you see what Jesus is trying to get Peter to do? Remember when you was raising your children, the first little boy or girl you had? Man, you watched them. You never let them fall. You hovered over them. You just made sure that nothing happened to them. You didn't want them to get no scratches or no nothing. And you helped them do everything. I mean, you were there for everything. And then here comes the second and third one. You turn them loose. Go for it. Just go out there. If you fall down, get up. You know, if you scrape your knee, get off. You just get a Band-Aid. Let's keep going. See, he's trying to teach Peter how to do this just with the Holy Spirit of God without me being there. Present Jesus. You know, think this. Probably these disciples had never been a day without him. Can you imagine being with him for 3 years? Then all of a sudden, he's going to be gone. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. Can you imagine the emotion they was going through? But I says, guys, I want you to perform even while I'm being arrested like you're supposed to perform in the kingdom principles. So Peter says, God, that's not going to happen to me. I will not fall. It's all or nothing, Peter says. I'm going to do it all. That's his lifestyle. Jesus says, but he spoke to him more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Since Peter said it, they all have to say it. I mean, Peter says, hey, Jesus, if I got to die with you, I'll die with you. Sounds good, don't it? Aren't you kind of glad Peter said that? Well, he had a problem. He couldn't live it. Sometimes in the Christianity, we get saved, we get baptized, we join the church, and then all the evil in the social life or our fleshly background kind of catches up with us, and we can't live it. We make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do. And before long, I don't feel comfortable going to church because I'm a sinner. Because I keep blowing it. I can't live it. If I can't live it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be one of those heathens go to church over there and just play like I'm living it. If I can't do it, I'm not doing it, so I just quit. You know the problem with quitting? It's pretty hard to get back. Everybody just say this. That's right. People think I can quit today and come back tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Once you're a quitter, quitters are a dime a dozen. It's easy to quit. I just want you to know that God's trying to teach you, and sometimes you got to let you fall to learn. He allows us to get to the very bottom so he can teach us how we can grow and find all the ways that God has for us. So Peter is now learning. He's now made it, and he says, Lord, I'll die for you. But then here comes the predicament. Chapter 14, read with me in verse 66. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, and the servant girls of the high priest came, and when he saw Peter warming himself, he looked at him and said, you also are with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it. It's just a short time. Just a few moments early, I'll die for you. Now Jesus, now they watched Jesus get arrested. Pretty scary. Now, here's how this works. If they can arrest Jesus, they can sure get me too. So they're afraid. All these emotions are going wild. Let me tell you something. I'm accountable to Jesus in all my emotions. The Holy Spirit's bigger than me. He can comfort me through every storm of my life. I need to learn that. Because, see, I can rationalize and say I'm only human. Then say it real slow. Rationalize. Lie to yourself. I'm only human. I can't do everything. You know, it's okay. Most people do this and just walk away and not even feel guilty. Here's Peter, just a few hours away. He said, hey, this guy Peter walked with him, and he denied him. I kind of feel for Peter right here, because I know what that feels like. I've denied him too. Not a good feeling. You know, it's just not good when you're not supposed to do that, and you just walk away. Something you should have said, you shouldn't have said. Some people you should have went and seen, you didn't. Some people you ducked. You just deny him. When God asks you to do something and you don't do it, you just deny him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's resurrected from the grave. And the Bible says he denied, saying, I neither knew nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and the rooster crowed. Peter just had to be a tough moment in that porch, standing there. I just didn't want to think I'd do. The servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. Twice in just a few moments, Peter had an opportunity to speak for him, stand up for him, and he said no. Pretty hard to do when your social life isn't where you're supposed to be. Let me tell you something. Your social life and spiritual lives are brothers. If you live and cuss and carry on and fight and get ahead and all or nothing all week long, it's pretty hard to come to church and worship Jesus. Because you're trying to put Jesus in your box when he died so you can join his world. Amen? And so, see, he's denying him. And I know what it feels like, and so do you know what it feels like. I talked to a guy at Lowe's, a former member at Crossroads. He spent 28 years in the military, and this guy was 28 years, they're both first sergeants. And he introduced, he said, this is my former pastor, this is Ron Davis. He introduced, his name was Craig. Craig, I says, what do you do, man? And he's telling me about his military life and all that stuff, and I enjoy it. I spent a couple years there, and I know a little bit about that. And then I asked him, I said, Craig, do you go to church anywhere? I mean, the guy introduced me as his pastor. I was supposed to ask questions, right? And so I said, you go to church anywhere? He says, no, not really. He says, I go every once in a while. My wife's Catholic. And we go to the Catholic church. I said, your wife's Catholic, but what are you? He says, well, I used to be Baptist. I said, but what are you now? What are you right now? He said, I guess I'm nothing. I said, oh, you're something. You're something, man. God made something out of you. You got to know where you are. And we were talking in the military about how all the young people in America disrespect their soldiers in America, and no patriotism, and all those things that go on in their lives, you know, and if they could spend some years in the military, in a little boot camp. A little size 12 put in the right place every once in a while, they'll say amen too, and they'll say yes sir too, and they'll love America too. So he was talking about how people just don't really respect America no more, and all the soldiers and the friends, they begin to tell me about friends who died over there that they were in charge of and what that meant to them, and I just listened to the stories. Then I asked him, I said, do you go to church? No, I said, let me tell you something. Don't ever talk about your men over there who died and those people don't respect him. When you had a Jesus die on the cross who gave his life for you, and do you respect him? Do you respect the God who gave his blood so you could have life and freedom? Are you the Jesus that made America and God we trust, it says on your dollar? So don't tell me that you're nothing when you are supposed to be something for the Jesus Christ in your life. You just got to be real, man. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a preacher. But you just got to love the Lord and worship. God made us to worship. Peter's having a hard time. He's denying him. Lived with him 3 years. And then in verse 70, but he denied him again. And a little later, there those who stood by said to Peter, surely you are one of them. For you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to cuss and swear. I do not know this man from whom you speak. Here's Peter dying for him. And now he's cussing him. Horrible. It's life. It's life in the gritty. It's life in the break room. It's life on the front line. It's all or nothing. He's cussing him. This is the Peter who walked on water, who had no faith. And today, he's done it three times. He's cussed him. Peter had to be so broken on the inside because Peter was a real guy. Peter was one of God's guys. But he did it. A second time the rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you deny me three times. And he thought about it and cried. He thought about it and he just cried. Man, I've cried before. It's okay to cry. Man, those old tears can turn loose a lot of pressure. Those tears can wash out some stuff. Aren't you glad Peter cried? Aren't you glad he was so real he knew what he did wrong? Aren't you glad he really did love Jesus? Aren't you glad just the moments of pressure and tensions and all that just destroyed him? Don't you know that Jesus let him fall so Jesus could grow him up? See, Jesus kind of handpicked and carried these guys around for 3 years, and now he's turned them loose and says, you're going to get out here and you're going to fall a little bit, but I want you to grow up while you fall. I want you to learn in your bruises how to be stronger in the faith and how to love people, how to care for people, how to walk with people. You know, if you only like people because they think like you, you don't like them at all. You just like their thinking. If you want to come to church and everybody thinks alike, somebody's not needed in this place because God put us all here with different gifts, different spirits, different ideas so we can grow the church, build the kingdom, and touch lives. You know those people, you know how to reach people that I don't know how to reach. You know people who are lost going to hell that I don't know. And together we can touch lives and we can win the community. We can touch lives. We can be a church that's on fire for Jesus instead of crying for what we didn't do, praising God for what he did in us. He loaded our guns with love. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. What shall wash away my sins? It's nothing but the blood. What shall make me whole again? It's nothing but the blood. And because the blood was shed, we got something to say. We got something to do. The world's going to hell, and we can change it. One by one. You got to believe it. You got to invite it. You got to do it. And you got to quit crying for what you didn't do and start living for what God wants you to do. That's the face that we got to have. It's real easy to get mad and to get discouraged and to be depressed. Just don't pay attention. It happens normally. But you be a prayer warrior. And I don't care what the devil's throwing at you. You can stand up. You talk to God a lot. And you got a lot to talk about. You don't talk to him too often. You don't know how to say it. You don't know what to tell him about. Don't ever tell God what the weather is. He knows. He runs the place, okay? Don't ever talk God about what the storms are doing. He runs the place. Talk to God what your heart is. He's the closest friend in the world. I remember sometimes when I get far away from God, it's hard for me to talk to God. It's just hard. But boy, when I'm in fellowship with God. You know what fellowship is? Just two fellows in a ship. When you and God's in fellowship, it's a wonderful time. You can run hell with a water gun and go at it when you're walking with Jesus. But if you're not, it's miserable. And it's supposed to be. And God loves you too much to let you stay there. So Peter's at the bottom of the barrel. He's crying. He's praying. But let me show you the new face that he has. Chapter 16, Mark, is the greatest chapter. He's risen. He's risen from the dead on that Sunday morning. It's amazing to me, not a disciple was there, but he's risen from the dead. But then, come down to verse 7. Let me go to verse 6. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. This is the angel speaking. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who's crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Then he says, but go tell the disciples and Peter. You like that? Go tell all the disciples. But make sure you tell Peter. Peter's having a tough day. Peter's been so far from me. He's hurting. Aren't you glad that Jesus mentioned his name? The one that cussed him. The one that turned from him. The one that denied him. The one who cut the ear off in the garden. Oh, let's get Peter back. Let's put him back right where he needs to be. He's the guy up front. And the devil don't want him up front. So tell the disciples and tell Peter, I'm ready to go. I want you to know that I'm okay. Peter, do you know that? You know what it was when he heard that Mary told him the report? And he said, Peter? He said, yeah, he said, Peter. Look at the face of a second chance. It's like walking to the hospital room and we're really frightened for the news and all of a sudden the doctor comes in and says, everything's going to be fine. It's a second chance. The face of a second chance. Can you see Peter's face? It's just so important to know that we stumble, but we get up. We disagree, but we forgive. We hurt, but we stop it. Churches is families who battles. And may God give us a second chance with a new face to love everybody and to care for everybody. It'd be kind of like this. Sunday morning, I'd been out there through the week and I denied him a couple times. And there won't be a week go by that we won't. Say amen. Don't make me look like I'm the only one hanging out up here, okay? We just do it. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of anger, sometimes out of just not caring, not paying attention. We just do it. And I've lived that life this week and I come to church, angel walks through, or gives a message through the back door and says, tell First Baptist Church Brandenburg that Jesus is risen, and be sure you tell Ron Davis too. Wow, what a day. He's got your name. He wants you to know it too. He personalizes everything. He's the most intimate, personal God who can romance your heart more than anybody you ever met in your life. If you just let him get in it, let him heal it and massage it, you can love enemies. You can pray for those who despise and forsake you. You can pray for those who don't think like you. You can pray for those who don't look like you think they should look. I tell my Sunday school class, I went to Sunday school this morning. You? Let's go on, okay? What makes a big church big? Small groups. I had a problem with prejudices. I battle it all the time. So do you. Say amen? I used to go to hospital at Louisville Hospital downtown, and a lot of people in that hospital downtown. And I'd get in there, U of L Hospital, weird-looking people. Green hair, blue hair, tattoos, piercings, it's all over. And I used to look at them, and I preached a message one time about not being prejudiced, and I went home and stayed awake all that night because I couldn't even believe what I said. But what I said was right. So I used to do this. I used to go down to University Hospital, get on the elevator, and ride it for 1 hour and love everybody on it. Just talk to them. I just talked to them. I met a guy on there one time with green hair. I invited him to church. Got talking to him. Good guy. He's a good guy. He worked there somewhere in the hospital. I said, let me invite you to church. He said, now, wouldn't I look good in your church with green hair? I said, I'll tell you what. If you'd come, I'll take my hair. I'll go green with you. He said, you do that? I said, I really would. He said, I know you're a preacher. You got that weird preacher hairdo. I don't even want to hang out with you. He condemned me right there. I'm trying to help not condemning him, and he threw me on the bus. Right there. We're all messed up, green hair or not. But let me tell you something. I've thrown far too many people away at church, haven't you? I've said things that shouldn't. I've done things that shouldn't. I have. And this church is the bride of Christ. How could I ever lower the bride of Christ by saying things and feeling things about people who God died so I wouldn't have to be like that, so I could learn how Peter, we have fallen, we can't live, we're not perfect, we make mistakes, but thank God we can get up and walk ahead and be forgiven and declare the righteousness of God, because my righteousness is not what I've done, it's what he done for me is my righteousness. It's called grace. It's amazing. In Galatians chapter 2, the last verse says, he says, if righteousness comes by keeping the law, then Jesus died in vain. He died in vain. If you think we can do good stuff to become righteous, man, he's righteous in his grace. Amen? So I ask you this morning, in the face of a second chance, Easter's coming, I want you to invite people that you never thought about. I want you to go to your coworkers. I just want you to go so. I just want you, just start thinking like that. We don't think like that, especially when we're going through a tough time at church or at home or at work. We don't think like that. But God wants us to think like that. He saved us to use us. Here's the awesome God who died on a cross, who was risen from the dead. He wants to use us to partner with him to win a world. You know, when I pray for people by name, I partner with God to do something in their life. I'm a partner with God. With God. He asked me to. Why don't we do that? Oh, we're chasing the almighty dollar. You know what I've learned in my life? I wish I'd learned it a lot earlier, but I've learned this. What I really want in my life, my money can't even buy. I can't even get it, what I really want. And that was there all the time. Free gift of grace by the love of Jesus Christ. We got to learn this. We got to figure this out. It's an urgent moment for the kingdom of God. If you love Jesus and you're a born-again member and your co-worker dies and doesn't even hear about Jesus from you, why? Why? You don't have to quote a lot of scriptures. You don't have to be perfect. You just tell them how God's working in your life. Tell them how you got saved. Just tell them what you know. Have a conversation about God. I don't like talking about God. You ought to. He gave you your life. He gave you your job. He gave you your family. Why not talk about it? Well, you know, some people say that I've just never been trained. You ever have a grandchild? Anybody ever train you how to brag on that grandchild? Did you go through a class to talk about grandchildren? Did you have to say, well, I'm not talking enough about them? You didn't have to go to a class to talk about grandchildren. You know why you talk about grandchildren? Let me tell you why. You love them. And when you could love Jesus more, you can't help but talk about him. If you could just love him more, it's just natural. He's the romancer. He's the word giver. He's the peacemaker. He is the right, bright, and morning star of your life. Just love him more. It'll just happen more. Amen? Oh, Peter had a second face. Thank God that Jesus says, tell them disciples. Yeah, get Peter in on it too. Because I want him to know I still love him. He asked him three times how much he loves him. Remember, he gives a little sermon later on. But Peter finally loved him enough. Peter died for him.